Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning as the case may be, and welcome to Coast AM, live talk radio for another week right here. The only place where you get live, unscreened, unpredictable, sometimes unreliable, but always surprising, talk radio. Lots to talk about this morning, an awful lot going on out there. I'd like to welcome KMSL-AM in Great Falls, Montana. Welcome to the network. As the numbers just keep on climbing, good to have you along. They're 1450 on the dial in Great Falls, Montana. Great to have you all. Now, let me see. What is going on? Well, at the half-hour mark, coming out of the half-hour mark, I'm going to have information for you that I know you want on Richard Hoagland and some new stuff. So hang on for that. I can't really give it out till the bottom of the hour. But it's big news coming for those of you that have been waiting. Art has given many varied reasons in the past for not showing up to work. Among others, he said that his back hurt, or he was too tired from signing books, or got sick. That's not really true. Or got sick from eating a barbecued beef sandwich. That's true. Or how about a rabbit ate my wiring? That one was true, too. Well, here are the top 10 excuses he has for missing yet another day of work on Friday, last Friday. 10. Art, naturally, did not read any of the instructions, especially the safety ones, before using his new ShopSmith to construct a new cat bed for Comet. Let's just say he won't have to worry about his sore thumb anymore. 9. While looking for the Comet, Art accidentally tripped and fell into one of the spring-fed pools in the desert and discovered a new species of the pupfish. Before he could get out, they devoured the flesh off his right hand, clear down to the bone. 8. Art got a big mad cow disease attack after eating that burger at his book signing. 7. After successfully suppressing or downplaying media coverage of the Richard Hoagland press conference, NASA emissaries paid a visit to the one media person who was not cooperating. They frowned heavily on him. 6. A fan who was locked out of the convention center when, at 4 o'clock, he left his place in line after 4 hours to go outside for a smoke, made sure that Portland would be Art's only book signing. 5. After feeling too much information was getting out on the real purposes of the HAARP project, a high-frequency beam was bounced off the ionosphere on Friday onto a remote desert location. Art got a real charge out of that. 4. Comet is actually the reincarnated spirit of the squirrel that Art once killed when he was a kid, came back to seek revenge. Oh, what carnage. 3. After registering his brand new bomb at the police station, Charlie went to Pahrump to show it to Art. Unfortunately, an argument concerning politics ensued, and the trigger was detonated by the high decibel level of Charlie's voice. 2. Intrigued by Donnell's idea, Art, the electronic genius, modified his select antenna so he could amplify his brainwaves. A slight miscalculation resulted in the frying of all the circuits in his head. His famous last words were, "I guess I didn't think it through." And the number one excuse Art will give for not showing up to work on Friday is following up on the first confirmed sighting of El Chupacabra in the U.S. Linda Howe found Art on his porch with puncture wounds in his right hand and all the blood drained out of his lifeless body. Comet then was seen sitting in Art's chair in the studio, staring into the Vidian camera with a wide Cheshire cat smile on his face and cleaning blood off his whiskers. Till the Comet do us part, Steve, in Portland. Well, actually, the real reason I was not here was indeed my hand. What happened, so that you all might know, Friday morning, during the show, my hand, which I thought I had under control, became out of control and began to get larger and larger and larger due to my cat bites. And the area of red began to spread wildly. So I went to the doctor, who promptly gave me shots, which still hurt, pills, various assorted medicines, and I've been dipping my hand in hot, near-boiling water for a couple of days, and it now appears under control, having receded to the area of the original bite wounds. And so there you have it. I was, I had a bit of a temperature and, you know, typical serious infection. But I was smart enough to go to the doctor, and it is taken care of. I'll be right back. Now, Prime Minister John Major in England wants the entire ban lifted in Europe on British beef. I don't think he's going to get it. The government virtually has decided in England they shall do nothing. They've had 150,000-plus cows infected with mad cow disease. McDonald's in Britain has taken hamburgers off the menu. One can presume in 660 outlets there, they only can get fish now, I guess. Maybe some morning eggs and stuff. Eight people are dead. They talked about possibly killing all 11 million cows, but they're not going to do it. Today, two more people were diagnosed. The Labour Party is saying this is a reckless disregard for public health. Here in the U.S., officials have decided to step up inspections. And again, at the top of the category of famous last words, which I would love to continue, have to be, it cannot possibly jump species. Here in the U.S., we essentially have confirmed that, in fact, it has jumped species. The British government, concerned no doubt about the economic ramifications of having to kill that many cows, has basically bravely decided to do nothing. And I think it is a mistake and one they're going to have to eat. But we'll see. While we're on the subject of disease, there is TB. Thought to be a disease of the past, it is now anything but. Now, in fact, it is a worldwide epidemic. 3 million dead from TB last year. Those are the highest recorded numbers in U.S. history. A World Health Organization spokesman said the following. Listen to this. Quote, "It's going to slaughter people by the tens of millions in the next decade." That's pretty serious. He said, "Look, we're only a few steps away from breeding enough drug-resistant TB for it to become a global threat, even in developed countries. It's airborne, and everybody who breathes air should be concerned." That is the World Health Organization, not Art Bell, the WHO. Present estimates are 50 million people worldwide are infected by drug-resistant tuberculosis. So the march continues, disease and plague revisiting us. Mira Savino's depiction of a bubble-headed call girl and Kevin Spacey's portrayal of a crippled con artist earned them Oscars for Best Supporting Roles at Monday night's Academy Awards. Savino won for her role in Woody Allen's comedy Mighty Aphrodite, while Spacey was honored for the crime thriller The Usual Suspects. And I saw that just the other day. If you have not yet seen The Usual Suspects, I highly recommend it. My wife and I sat there after watching it saying, boy, you know, this one really ought to win. And it did. He was incredible in that role. I thought it was an excellent movie and deserving of the award. Now politics. Pat Buchanan to press issues, it says. With Bob Dole virtually assured of the Republican presidential nomination, challenger Buchanan is looking to influence the party's platform. Buchanan says he plans to press three main issues at the GOP convention down in San Diego this summer. Opposition to abortion, that's in the platform. Cracking down on illegal immigration and the decline of middle-class living standards. Buchanan spending the day in California, ahead of that state's primary tomorrow, so Pat's out in California. Now, he's not ruling out the possibility of a third-party run. And that will indeed be a fine old mess. A Dole on the, over the weekend on Meet the Press said if Pat Buchanan is a, quote, good Republican, end quote, he will, without precondition, endorse me. Well, it looks like there are going to be conditions, and I doubt there's going to be an endorsement. There might be. What is a good Republican? That's a little hard to figure these days. Buchanan said, look, which way is the Republican Party going? To corporate America or to middle America? He said, if I leave the, in essence, if I leave the Republican Party, the analogy he used was Ronald Reagan's, that the party, in fact, would have left him. Others charge it is Buchanan going left. Buchanan for high tariffs. Buchanan against free trade. Buchanan criticizing corporate America. And last week, Buchanan coming out in favor of the Stryker replacement bill. Then, of course, there is Ralph Nader on the left who will run under or above the Green Party banner. The Green Party is very liberal, believes in same-sex marriages, and we'll do some on that here in a few minutes. But he is not for that. He's going to possibly take advantage of their banner and run as president. The White House is not happy about that. Ralph Nader is likely to be Bob Dole's Buchanan. In other words, Ralph Nader is very likely going to take votes from Bill Clinton. And people are running around saying, oh my, oh my, oh my, could Ralph Nader cost Bill Clinton California? Indeed. It could. If Pat Buchanan, Ross Perot, and Ralph Nader all run through the end game, what effect do you expect on the election? That's my question. What effect do you expect on the election if they all run? Tobacco is very much in the news. This week with David Brinkley doing a big thing on that. Tobacco companies, once revered, rich, smoking, once regarded as suave, now under assault from all directions. The legal direction being one of them. Lawyers lined up about six deep to sue tobacco companies, more states contemplating joining in. Can you imagine trying to go to a doctor to get a prescription for your cigarettes every week? Having to put up with a typical doctor lecture about smoking before you get your smokes. Forcing the companies to advertise against their own product. The FDA may regulate tobacco as a narcotic is regulated. And I thought Cokie Roberts had it right. If they decide it is, in effect, a drug, nicotine, and it needs to be regulated, how can the FDA do anything other than ban cigarettes? I said ban cigarettes. More whistleblowers coming out, and my question is, should smoking be outlawed? Just plain outlawed. Pass a law against smoking, and that is that. In space, the docking has been successful. Shannon Lucid, our American astronaut, to spend 142 days on Mir, the space station, as a matter of fact. So what we've got here is two Russian guys and one American woman to be together for 5 months. The Russians, on hearing she was coming, said, good, women like to clean. And I'm surprised she still went after hearing that, frankly. San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, joined by members of the city's governing board of supervisors, presided, as get this, 175 gay and lesbian couples symbolically tied the knot at City Hall today. Brown told the couples, quote, I now pronounce you domestic partners. You may consummate the relationship, end quote. San Francisco today became the first U.S. city to recognize gay partnerships with a civil ceremony. Hawaii may be the first state, unless the party can say why it shouldn't be, unless the state, that is, can say why it shouldn't be, to legalize gay marriages in toto. What would you say? What reason, in other words, the Hawaiian Supreme Court has told the state of Hawaii, either you give us a reason why it should not be, or prepare to legalize gay marriage. And it is widely thought that if that battle is lost and gay marriage is legalized in Hawaii, other states are going to follow. So, there you have it. Maybe you can come up with a reason. What is the reason? Why would you say that gay couples should not be allowed to get married? What reason would you give? And as a continuing follow-up to this cat problem with buttered bread, Art, when a cat is dropped, it always lands on its feet. When toast is dropped, it always lands with the buttered side facing down. It is proposed to strap buttered toast to the back of a cat. The two, it is said, will hover, spinning inches above the ground. With a giant buttered cat array, a high-speed monorail could easily link New York with Chicago. Here is something that ran on the front page of the Washington Post. Are we alone? NASA is trying to find out. Push to develop deep space planet finder telescope poses challenge to scientists. In other words, they are preparing now to look deep into space. It's a program that is yet years away. And look for life on Earth-like planets with telescopes. Interesting. And I've got quite a bit more, but not quite a bit more time. So let me take care of a couple of things here, and we'll get back to it. It's going to be an open line kind of night. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. Let me tell you about just one more item, and that is an alleged standoff going on now in Montana. Earlier today, I had heard that those who call themselves free men had been arrested in Montana, that the arrests had gone essentially without incident. And I believe that is the case regarding those who have been arrested. Now I am hearing, and I don't want to, I've got nothing on this other than that which was passed on to me earlier tonight, that there are a group of so-called free men or their associates who are holed up in a house. Could this lead to some kind of Waco incident? It might. Are there special forces on the scene? There may be. That's what the rumor says. So, exactly what I was afraid of may in fact be unfolding in Montana. Those of you with information on this, I would appreciate any input you can give. And we'll kind of follow the story throughout the night. The FBI, no doubt, on the scene, and possibly, as I said, special forces. How many people are involved, I don't know. It may be quite a number. We will continue to track this story and try and bring the information to you as we are able.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. On this, Somewhere in Time. take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Hi, everybody. All right, I've got some news for you. Ready to turn this loose now. Talked to Richard Hoagland earlier today. He had a four-hour meeting with Sarah McLendon. He's going back to the press club at her invitation this coming Wednesday, where he will meet with a group of reporters for an extended period of time, presenting all the evidence. But that's not it. I am now prepared to do what I promised you I would do. The photographs Richard Hoagland promised, including the Russian photographs that were not presented at the news conference, are as of this moment, according to my webmaster, Keith, now up on my webpage. Now, what I'm afraid of is it's going to go into absolute, utter gridlock the moment I say this, but I guess that's all we can do. So, the photographs that were promised by Richard Hoagland are now on my webpage. Now, how do you get to that? You go, my webpage is easy to get to if you have a web browser of some sort. Just put in the name Art Bell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L. It'll get you there. If you must put in the entire address, put in www.artbell.com. Actually, you're supposed to put in the http://www.artbell.com. But the promised photographs are there as of about 5 minutes ago. They were dispensed by Richard Hoagland and have been uploaded by my webmaster, and they should be there for your downloading pleasure. Now, I have not yet seen them, so you will see them before I do. They were actually uploaded to the webpage during the period of time that I sat here talking to you in the first half hour. So there you go. And also, I want to thank the people that provided the IRC chat channel. I got a fax. It was a bit of anarchy that went up there. That's the nature of IRC. But I do want to thank them, and they did a hell of a lot of work trying to get the log of the press conference up, which they did, I might add. No other medium is able to provide the kind of live, interactive forum that IRC does. And so it is good. It was clogged up with some people making uncalled for remarks, but that's always the case with IRC. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, IRC has been a big help to us, and I want to thank all of those involved, and particularly Buzz up there. He calls himself Buzz the Radio Spy. Thanks, Buzz. I appreciate all the help you gave. And as a result of that and all that went on, there will now be more from Richard Hoagland. Sarah McLendon has embraced him, and she is sort of the, I guess Sarah is the queen of the news corps. Would that be fair? And so back to the press club he goes. In the meantime, the photographs you wanted are now on my webpage. So go get them. www.artbell.com. And let me know what you think, including the Russian photographs that did not get presented at the press conference because of time. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning. No, you're not. Let's instead go west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. Tim in Denver.
Hi, Tim.
I'm glad I got in. I wanted to comment. I was listening to another talk show over the weekend, and the gentleman I was listening to opened up his show. He had Richard Hoagland on before, and he opened up the show blasting the man. Said that he's gone out on a limb. It no longer looks like he's interested in finding truth, that he's interested in finding a dollar sign.
Really?
Really amazing.
Well, I have not discerned that from my talks. I've had Richard on now for hours and hours and hours, and I haven't heard him begging money.
Well, 360 degrees is what it looks like to me as far as this guy's attitude is concerned. And it amazed me because, like I said, he in the past pretty much embraced the gentleman. So that I was like, who's finally got to this guy? very strange. Also, and in reference to prediction 96 I made for the year 96, there's an article coming out in Fate magazine, April's edition, 1996, from Father Thomas Culp, who is writing an extended article on UFOs, the demonic conspiracy. And this gentleman states in his article that Christians should not be listening to anything concerning UFOs, should not read anything, that if you read your Bible, that the space between earth and heaven was opened up for demons, and demons only.
So it's all demons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. All demons, huh? Well, I don't rule that out. Does that surprise you? I don't rule it out. Nor do I rule it in. Nor do I embrace the concept of little green or gray guys, because I haven't seen them. I do know there are UFOs, because I've seen them. But otherwise, I'm a pretty hands-on kind of person, and I really don't embrace anything until I know for myself that it is so. Demons? Maybe. I wouldn't rule that out. I have an open mind. You can't have a halfway open mind on things. You've got to have an open mind. Lacking proof of something, you've got to be open to all possibilities and all avenues of investigation, or you're never going to get to the truth. That is my attitude. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, good. I'm going to give you my reason why I think same-sex marriages should not exist.
Okay. If you were the state of Hawaii, representing the state of Hawaii, and you were going to go in front of the Supreme Court there, what would you say?
Well, they seem to be pretty liberal, and I would give them a very crucial biblical answer, and I would not bat one eye of what they thought. I believe that without that, it is a religious ceremony. It was never created by man. I would go into the detail of how that the man is supposed to leave his parents.
May I ask you, stop for a second. You say it is a religious ceremony.
Yes, it is. It's
and yet,
from the Bible.
And yet a man and a woman may go before nothing more than a civil authority and be married.
What do you mean, like justice?
What do I mean? Yeah, you can go to a justice of the peace and get married, and
the laws of the land have allowed that. I'm sure that they still. I've never had a justice of the peace marriage.
Well, I didn't ask what you've had. The question is, what under the law is done, and that is the way you would have to address the Hawaiian Supreme Court under the law.
Does the Hawaiian Supreme Court get their law from man, or do they get their laws from God? Where did they get most of their laws?
Well, they interpret laws, ma'am, based on the Hawaiian Constitution or the U.S. Constitution. So they interpret laws anyway. They're not supposed to make laws. Now, sometimes courts do that. But your point was that it is a religious ceremony, marriage.
Right, and it was created by God himself.
Uh-huh.
And how can a man and a man leave their families, come together, and become one flesh? So if you attribute your, this is the reason why I believe there are so many divorces, is because God is not in that marriage. There is something, it's like the mortar between the two bricks. Now, how can that spiritual coming together of a man and a woman that bring their self to become one flesh, how can that possibly even begin to happen between a man and a man and a woman and a woman? And, you know, I have a warning about this, and you mark my word. I feel like, you know, how much more can in something like this that God has created, that man continuously being evil, or governments passing laws to slap, you know, slap him in the face, the creator of this nation,
mm-hmm.
continuously slapping him in the face without some type of judgment happening, like another pestilence besides AIDS. You watch it. You mark my word.
All right. Well, I believe your word. I believe your word, ma'am. However, I don't think that your argument would hold up in court. They will look at this legally. Not morally, not from a religious point of view. I don't think that would be admissible. They will look at this legally. And you suggested it is a bond, a religious bond, and a bond with God. And I would not argue that concept with you. I simply would not know how to argue that concept in court. Sadly. Maybe some of you would, and I'm certainly willing to listen. But when you said it is a religious ceremony and a bond with God, you did not answer my question about the civil contract aspect of it. In other words, you can go to any justice of the peace and have, in essence, a civil contract. That's what it is. And they're asking, why should the state not be forced to provide the civil contract for any two people who want it? And I'm not saying I am in favor of it, far from. I am simply asking the legal question that the highest court in Hawaii is asking the state, and I have no idea how they're going to answer it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there. No, you're not. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, how are you, Art?
Fine. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay. I'm a friend of Richard Hoagland.
Yes, sir.
This is Zeke. My name's come up a couple times in conversation. I'm a truck driver.
Okay, Zeke.
And I have a feeling that Richard Hoagland's kind of blow things kind of wide apart. I was sitting in Washington with him on Sunday reviewing some films. And he's got some information that he hasn't released yet, but when it comes out, it's really going to change people's minds.
I'm aware of that, and I'm aware of the film that he has, and I guess you are aware of the meeting with Sarah McLendon, aren't you?
Yes, I am, uh-huh.
And you know he's going back to the press club?
Yeah, Wednesday night.
And we now have the Russian photographs up on the web.
Yes, and what I was calling in reference to is that you made mention of the Washington Post speaking of there are new developments in space, and it should be noted that the Washington Post called Richard a kook.
I know.
Which doesn't really say much for the people who believe in Richard.
I know, but the same person who wrote the article blasting Richard in the Washington Post also blasted Sarah McLendon.
Yes, that can be dangerous.
So, there you are. All right, thank you very much for the call. Have a good morning. Yeah, they really let loose on Richard, the Washington Post did. And when I talked to Richard earlier today, what he said was, you know, why would they do that on the front page of the Washington Post? If what he's doing is so insignificant or kookified as to be not worthy of a response, why would they blast him on the front page of the Washington Post? As he said, there has to have been some sort of nerve touched out there, and I agree with that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. Let's try it again. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Edward in Pasadena, California.
Hi, Edward. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. I have a theory regarding Pat Buchanan and just wanted to see what you think of it.
Fire away.
I think that he is still running, still in the race with his eye on the year 2000.
Oh, that could easily be.
He knows he can't get it this year, and I think he'll wind up backing Dole to remain a good Republican, hoping to get the Republican nomination in 2000, assuming Dole doesn't get elected this year.
Well, there's lots of ways that things can develop. One is Buchanan makes a speech at the convention but ends up backing Bob Dole, remaining in the party.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can leave the party, diminishing Bob Dole's chances of ever getting into the White House, taking probably about 15%, I would guess, with him, and that would just kill Dole. The other is that Ralph Nader will run in California, well, nationally, but in California, taking California away from Clinton, giving it to Dole. And I think that if Ross Perot runs, he will take equally, but only in the single digits, from both candidates. So the real unknowns are Buchanan and our friend, the consumer advocate, Ralph Nader.
I'll be surprised if Nader shows up very much at all. I mean, that's a personal opinion. But
well, that's true nationally, but don't underestimate Ralph Nader in California. He could take enough votes away from Bill Clinton to give California to Bob Dole.
We'll find out pretty soon here.
And California is a pretty important state. You generally don't go to the White House without California.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your opinion on that.
Thank you very much. It is going to be interesting to see how all of this unfolds. And as I said, with all of these wild cards, they are the ones that probably will determine what occurs. Pat Buchanan has got a big choice to make. A big choice. And if I were advising him, which I am not, I would advise him soon to make a conciliatory speech at the convention, to remain in the mainstream of the Republican Party, and to set his sights on 2000, as this caller just suggested. We'll see. We'll see. It would be interesting to hear from the Buchanan diehard supporters. Are you still prepared to do exactly what he says? In other words, if he leaves the party, and it could happen, if he perceives Bob Dole as moving to the left in terms of the vice presidential candidate he chooses, the positions he takes, if it turns out to be a big fight in San Diego over abortion and other things, it's going to hurt Bob Dole. Would you follow Pat? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Jerry from Minneapolis.
Hi, Jerry.
Say, I just wanted to put my two cents in on Sarah McClendon used to be a regular on the old Michael Jackson show.
Yes.
And she is a certifiable kook.
Oh,
she really said some pretty outrageous things back in the 80s on that show that had no semblance of the truth. So I think there may be an improper alliance here with Richard Hoagland, who I think, at least from the times he's been on your show, sounds like he's definitely got something going.
Well, Sarah McClendon, much as you may have just tried to take her down, is respected, sir, worldwide.
Well, have you heard the things that she said on the Michael Jackson show?
No, I haven't heard the things she said on the Michael Jackson show. What did she say?
Well, she used to say all kinds of things about Ronald Reagan and about... basically, she was a conservative basher with all kinds of conspiracy theories, none of which ever...
Like what?
...one lick of truth.
Like what?
Well, I cannot give you the specifics, but
oh,
I do
darn.
Remember every time she'd be on, it would be something totally outrageous, it would be followed up, and there would be no truth to anything that she would allege...
Well, that's a pretty broad stroke without being able to give me one specific. My understanding of Sarah McClendon is that she's respected worldwide, that she's thought of very well in the press corps. And so, I don't know. I think that her voice, added to that of Richard Hoagland's, if that's what it turns out to be, is going to be a force. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, as I said, the new photographs are on my webpage now. You want them? Go get them. Webpage is www.artbell.com. It's going to jam up pretty quickly. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, back from cat scratch fever. For those of you just joining at this hour, I was absent Friday because my hand got to about twice its normal size, actually. And it's all red and infected. And so they gave me shots here and there, if you know what I mean. And all kinds of shots, and I've got pills, and the infection has receded to a more localized area, and I seem to be alive. The cat which wrought all this on me is living now in our bathroom, door shut, cat box, food, and such. And I go in every now and then, I talk sweetly to it, it goes... That's closest I can come to the sound it makes. And I'm going to try and make friends with it slowly but surely. And I'll probably get torn up again. But, you know, I've got so many pills and so many drugs in my body now that what can it do? We're talking about a number of things. Number one, I want you to know once again, with regard to Richard Hoagland, two developments, maybe more. He had a four-hour meeting with Sarah McLendon, the dean-us, duchess, I guess, of the press corps, and he's going back to the press club Wednesday, and there's a big meeting set up, and he will do an entire presentation. Moreover, the photographs promised went up about 30 minutes ago on my webpage, including the Russian photograph. People said, well, he doesn't have it. Yes, he does. And now we have it, and it's up on the webpage if you want to see it. That is www.artbell.com. And we will also endeavor to get these photographs for our newsletter. We'll see what can be done. So there's a very great deal going on about all that. AP stories. Washington Post wrote a story blasting him, and in the same story on a separate subject, blasted Sarah McLendon. She told him he should wear it as a badge of honor. We'll see where all of this goes. At any rate, the promised photographs are up there now. So go get them, and then let me know what you think. Obviously, I have not seen them yet. They went on the webpage at about 11:30, and so I would not have seen them yet, obviously. I'm on the air. We're talking about what's going on in Montana. There's been an arrest of two of the so-called free men in Montana. The USA Radio Network reports that indeed there is now a standoff underway at a farmhouse, a Montana farmhouse, and any input anybody's got on what's going on would be appreciated. Whether this is going to turn into some sort of tragic incident or not, at this hour, we don't know. But the FBI apparently is surrounding the place. There may be some special forces as well involved. They will neither confirm nor deny that. And we hardly know what's going on, but that's all I know. Two arrested without incident, and apparently friends and compatriots of these two now holding off the feds, and we'll see what happens. Same-sex marriages. There was a ceremony earlier in the day in San Francisco in which a number of same-sex people were, well, San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, joined by members of the city's governing board of supervisors, presided as about 175 gay and lesbian couples symbolically tied the knot at City Hall. Brown told the couples, quote, I now pronounce you domestic partners. You may consummate the relationship, end quote. San Francisco today became the first U.S. city to recognize gay partnerships with a civil ceremony. Now, Hawaii may be the first state to legitimize same-sex marriages. The Hawaiian Supreme Court has ordered the state to come up with some reason why they should not be ordered to do so. So far, they have not come up with any reason. A young lady called me last hour and said, Art, it's a ceremony before God. That's the reason. But in fact, in many cases, as you know, marriage is a civil contract, a civil ceremony. So I would simply ask you what you would say. Why should it not be allowed? Here is one entrant by fax. Art, same-sex marriages give twice the chance to tap insurance on the job. Why stop with two of the same sex? Why not three or four? Why not polygamy? And I wonder how you would answer that. I wonder if that would constitute any sort of legal argument about why it should not be. And then this, Art, is the anti-cigarette lobby filled with hypocrisy or what? Pharmacies in the Kansas City area have removed all cigarettes off the shelves in the event the FDA should declare cigarettes are a delivery system of a narcotic nicotine. The only way for anyone to legally purchase tobacco containing nicotine would be filled by that same pharmacy. Is that hypocrisy or what? That's from David, I guess in Kansas City. So there you've got it. That's kind of, in a nutshell, what we're talking about. Lots and lots of things. In Britain, mad cow disease spreading. Two more human beings diagnosed with the human equivalent of mad cow disease. The British government, led by John Major, saying they are going to do nothing. And they want the ban on British beef removed. McDonald's serving no more hamburgers in Britain. The Labour Party is saying that all public trust in the British government has now evaporated. And I must tell you that if I were in Britain, I'll be damned if I'd eat a hamburger. So I'm not sure they're going to get away with this. Perception means a lot, and if the people perceive there that beef, ground beef particularly, is not safe, I, in the long run, I think they're going to have to eat their words, and they're going to have to do something major, if you follow me, John. We'll be right back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Denise from Tempe.
Well, hi.
I'd like to tell you a couple of important things.
Sure.
First, I have a question. Do you happen to have a system whereby you keep previous faxes by date?
No. If I did that, I wouldn't have a house.
I don't doubt that one bit. Okay. On the 18th, I sent you two faxes on the dropping sperm count and rising cancer levels.
Yes.
I don't know if you got them or not.
Well, I'm sure I did. I mean,
well, barrel through that mass. You probably didn't see them.
Well, I try and go through every fax I get. What was the gist of it?
There was a lot of that machine gibberish on the top. It was from a researcher in Colorado and one in England.
Uh-huh.
Had to do with plastics being the cause.
Plastics?
Uh-huh, plastics.
Okay.
It's not estrogen, but oestrogen.
Okay.
At any rate, as soon as I've got $4 to send you two more, I'll do it again. Okay, other point. You saw that pretty picture from Phoenix on the nice auroral display?
I sure did.
Okay, we had another one.
Oh?
Not reported at all. This happened on the 5th of December, and it was the most incredibly gorgeous, those nice colors just like that, completely round rainbow with a very shiny concave silver dish in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nice military jets flying around the outside.
Really?
Went from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 3:28. Not one word about it anywhere. I talked to a reporter from the New Times here that's I think it's the only honest paper we have.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, he did some research and found out that there was a Harper Ray in the river bottom here at the bottom of the airport.
Really?
5 acres. It was taken down a week before the Super Bowl. We had all that lovely 80-degree weather.
Yes.
And two whole days of rain, one of them on the first day of the Phoenix Open, which 7 out of 10 years does that anyway.
And you think Harp caused that?
Well, that's my gut feeling. I saw that silver dish from my driveway.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call and the report. it's pretty difficult to relate any specific weather patterns to anything. We all have our suspicions, but it's very difficult to link it unless we can prove there was activity and prove all kinds of things. And how to tie that to any specific weather change is pretty difficult. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, Art Bell.
That's me.
Yeah. What is your east or west of the Rockies line?
It's 1-800-618-8255.
Okay. I dialed 615 and I got a porn line.
Well, see, dialed the wrong number.
I was wondering why we didn't see Shannon Doherty on any of the Oscars tonight.
Well, I don't know. I don't think she starred in any movies, did she?
I listen to you all the time, and I was wondering, there's a couple movies that I've never heard you mention that I thought you might want to see sometime. One would kind of have to do with HAARP. One would do with all this biological stuff that's going on.
What movies are those?
Michael Crichton's Andromeda Strain.
I saw that many times, sir.
Yes. Okay, and the other one's The Quiet Earth.
The Quiet Earth. It seems like I may have seen that.
Where they have a power grid that they hook up, and these guys kill themselves. And I mean, they're in the process of dying, and they end up to be the only people on Earth. And the guy who, one of the persons who's there, is the only. I mean, he's part of the whole project.
Oh, that's my kind of movie.
It reminds me of HAARP.
I'll have to look it up.
About, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
That one guy called in from Denver.
Yes.
He was mentioning being trashed, and you mentioned the Washington Post. Como is where I listened to you. Ken Stram was trashing him right and left, and I called up and talked to him for a minute. He trashes pretty much everything that's paranormal or...
Well, that's okay.
I don't know.
I mean, everybody to their own.
No.
Personally, I like to just hold an open mind.
Yeah, I think we don't know half what's going on, so... Anyway,
well,
keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I just hold an open mind on things until I've got proof one way or the other. That's why I allow these topics. I don't trash anything that I'm not sure of. Nor do I support anything that I'm not sure of, to the dismay of many. I had some lady who wrote me a letter. It was about a 10-page letter. And she told me that I was a traitor. A Nazi for not supporting Pat Buchanan. And she told me that I was going to be responsible for the brown and black people taking over America. And my kind of attitude was, in her words, traitorous. I wish I had the letter. I'd read you portions of it. But that is, paraphrasing it, that's about right. That I personally am going to be responsible for the browning and the blackening of America. Incredible. And the only way this could have been saved, she said, was my support of Pat Buchanan, but I vacillated. I didn't support him, and I didn't support anybody, actually. And I still don't, actually. You know that? I still don't. I don't support anybody. I don't support, nor do I embrace any candidate running. Not yet. Maybe not at all. Maybe not ever. I don't know. I'm rather disgusted with the whole thing. I bet there's some other people that feel that way. Dole Clinton? What difference does it make? Well, it will make some. And I'm sure I'll come around to that point of view eventually. There is a difference between Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. Not as much as I would like. Anyway, back to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art Bell?
Okay.
Shannon Doherty was in a movie this year. She did star in a movie.
What was she in? Oh, a TV.
Mallrats.
What was it?
Mallrats.
Mallrats?
Yep. Yeah, it's a movie. It was a off-the-wall comedy.
Yeah, well, I guess it didn't win any awards.
No, it wasn't that good. I saw it in the movie theater.
Mallrats, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
I like your show. It's a lot of fun to listen to, and it's kind of funny to hear people talking about all the stuff, what's going on with the satellites and stuff, who have no clue about it.
Well, it's different. You know, we try and do a different talk show. There's plenty of talk shows up there. If you want to If you want to go up there and listen to talk shows that do nothing but talk about politics until your ears bleed.
Yeah, well, I don't even mean that. I mean just people who listen to the news and start talking about things like that, and it's like you just want to step in and tell them everything, but there's so much more to it.
Well, but, it seems to me there's more to life than just anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyways, how do you feel about this whole affirmative action stuff? It seems like I was watching the news earlier, and they're arguing about it, and it just seems like it's getting real out of hand, and it used to be, you know, minorities as blacks and whites and Orientals and people who can drive and so on.
Well, I have one question.
Yes.
When the balance finally tips in America and there are more people of color than there are white people,
mm-hmm.
will there then still be affirmative action? And if there is, will it be given to the new minority?
Well, it seems to me that whatever the cause, now it's becoming, it's not even whites or blacks or men or women. It's becoming guys with dark hair, blonde hair. I mean, whatever is fitting the argument they're going for, you know?
No, I think, thank you, that affirmative action had its time and its reason and its place, and that time has long since passed. And that America, if there is a country in the world, I was kind of impressed with something Ronald Reagan said that was replayed recently, and I can only paraphrase it, but he said, look, you can go to France and live, or you can go to Japan and live, but you can never be French, or you can never be Japanese. America is a place where you can come, and no matter who you are, you can be an American. And that is ever so true, isn't it? You can be an American. And there is no other country like that in the world. That is our country. And I am proud of it. My position for a long time, that was another thing a lady took me to task for in a letter. She said that I'm against illegal immigration, which I am, and she took me to task for being for legal immigration. She wants to shut it all off. She said, America's going to become all brown and black, Art Bell, and it's going to be your fault. Well, immigration has always strengthened us, and I am not for shutting off legal immigration. I am for shutting the doors to illegal immigration. And we have every right to control our border. This has been my position forever, for as long as I've been on the air and longer. And it still is. We should enforce our borders, period. Period. And then we have, I don't say we should stop allowing people in. We should control the numbers and control what comes in on their backs and in their bodies. We should not allow diseased people in. There's lots of diseases out there that could get us. So people should be disease-free when they come to America. We've got enough to handle right now, thank you very much. And we should qualify people that come to America. There's nothing wrong with that. Other countries do it without being called Nazis. So I'm all for that. And if you control illegal immigration, you control the largest numbers that are coming into this country. Couldn't resist. Here they are.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me.
Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996.
Live talk radio in the nighttime because it's better. For example, this just in, latest off the Associated Press, two leaders of an anti-government group have been arrested in Montana while negotiations continue with other members of the group holed up for more than a year at a remote farm. The U.S. attorney for the region declines to elaborate on the reported negotiations with members of the fugitive group known as the Freemen. The group is heavily armed. Authorities have held off for months on any arrest attempt to avoid a violent confrontation. Officials say two leaders of the group, 57-year-old Leroy Schweitzer, I guess it is, and 53-year-old Daniel Peterson, were arrested without incident. They're charged now in a federal grand jury indictment, along with 10 others, in schemes involving issuance of fraudulent checks and money orders. Officials say both also face state charges involving the advocacy of violence for political aims. And that's as much as we know. Sounds like the official release. But it does confirm what I said earlier. There is a standoff going on right now. We'll see what happens. On same-sex marriage, I agree with the faxer on polygamy and philandering. No reason to prohibit these if we allow gays to marry regarding rights for gay couples, especially adoption. Does a six-month-old child have a choice whether to be adopted by a gay couple? The kids have a right to a standard in parents. Mike, I don't know. We may do a debate on this very subject. A big ceremony in San Francisco earlier today by Willie Brown. A court challenge in Hawaii that may bring same-sex marriage to all of America. Unless the state of Hawaii can figure out why it should not be so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Is it Art?
Yes. Good guess.
I have a little dedication for you. I've been trying to get through to you for over a year.
Oh, my.
Every night. And I'm an insomniac, all because of you. excuse my rhythm. I've decided to speak to Art Bell, the man from Pum. He's a treat I indulge myself from Pum. I lay awake at night just to hear others dump their opinions and concerns to Art Bell and Pum.
Oh, okay. Stop there. I very much appreciate that, but generally we don't do poems or singing.
Oh, well, I don't sing, but how about if I just wrote it out and mailed it to you?
That'd be wonderful.
Okay, because I really enjoy your show, and like I said, you've turned me into an insomniac. I don't never go to sleep before 3.
All right, dear. Well, listen, thank you. I never know what to say to such things. Sometimes I feel like I'd apologize. Turned you into an insomniac. It's not a good thing. But then, on the other hand, I appreciate your being here. So if you have learned to sleep during the day, I do that. And I must say, lately I've been sleeping very soundly. Of course, it's been a little invasive to my body. Things have been happening to me. You would think, wouldn't you, that somebody that generally stays at home, works at home, lives at home, would be safe. Not me. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell.
Hello.
This is Mike over in Linwood, Washington.
Hi, Mike.
I've been listening to you off and on for the past couple of years due to my schedule. But the Richard Hoagland, there were some interesting topics, and we got on the subject of ruins, or you did, I should state, and so forth. But my question is the chaoticness, what it would bring to the people here. What if their beliefs were on, oh, they're on the spirit side, but what if the Bible tells us straight out about how God created us and his words are, let us make man in our image. So he's referring more to one.
I don't think there was the plural.
Okay, what I'm trying to state is there has to be more than just us here. I mean, it's if we use religious. I'm not a religious fanatic, but what if through generations and generations we're being taught wrong? And what it is...
Well, it's entirely possible, sir. I appreciate your call. Look, here's the facts on the subject. Previous civilizations. As a Christian myself, evidence of such phenomenon doesn't bother me. In chapter 6 of Genesis, it tells about the sons of God coming unto the daughters of man, and the product were giants, great men of old, men of great renown. And that was before the time of Noah. In other words, things were here before the written word. I believe that may well be so, and I think there is mounting evidence of previous civilizations. I simply choose to believe, and I do believe, based on talking with many of you, that such knowledge would be disruptive, dangerous to the current paradigm, the religious and scientific paradigm that's here right now. And, in other words, I agree with the report that Richard Hoagland disagrees with. I agree with the report that says it would cause terrible disruption, and I happen to believe that. Then he goes on, gay marriages. As a Christian, I have to leave it to between God and them to say to other Christians, get over it. It's going to happen. Nothing you can do about it. In order to live in this country free, we've got to tolerate other beliefs with love. Just as I tolerate on July 4th when my church will salute the flag during worship and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I consider it a breach of church and state, and I don't believe in doing that sort of thing, and I don't do it. But I tolerate it and just keep loving. Where were you this weekend? In St. Louis, they ran encore broadcasts. I was afraid the mad cat disease got you. Well, it did. And lastly, about comets growling, my friend's cat did that to me for a whole month, and I just growled back. Now it loves me. That's Bruce in St. Louis. I don't know if I'd call it a growl. Yeah, I guess maybe it is. I can't even simulate the sound. But it's kind of like, stay away, sucker, or I'm going for you again. I'm going to take another piece out of you. Art, I appreciated your response to the woman that just called, expounding her views on marriage. You were right on the money. However, further explanation is necessary to my way of thinking. First of all, I don't agree with same-sex marriages, simply for the reason that it is not natural for anything or any human being to act in that manner. I do believe in God and am firm in the belief that Christ came to this earth and died for our sins. Having said that, I would like to state also the argument that marriage is not man-made or a man-made institution is not, in my opinion, correct. I've read the Bible front to backs on several occasions. Don't recall ever seeing a marriage ceremony set down in there. I recall reading several of the specific do's and don'ts along with the shoulds and shouldn'ts and about the celebrations and gatherings observed by the people involved, but no specific ceremony have I ever seen written there. The only reason I mention all of this is now I'm writing it down, it feels somewhat trivial. I feel that people like the woman who was complaining about the sanctity of marriage with regard to this subject are really missing the mark by a mile. Wrong is wrong, and no ceremony or lack thereof is going to make it right. People search out the truth for themselves and stop relying on what people think. This doesn't make sense. Ultimately, you are the only one responsible, Dan. So I'm not sure what Dan said there, exactly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, I have my own theory about what's causing the sperm count to drop.
What do you think it is?
I think it has to do with spirituality, in a sort of way. You know, the theory that people's health, their bodies are kept healthy by their spirit. And the spirit is fueled by some energy that comes from outside their body. Well, I think that due to overpopulation, the spiritual energy that people draw upon is kind of wearing thin, you know, being used out. So that it's,
well, you know, we tend to attribute things to that when we don't know what it is, whether it's the sperm count or AIDS, for example, that we have no cure for. A lot of people said AIDS was God's vengeance on the homosexuals, and that has been true of nearly every terrible disease we've had until we find a biological cause for it. We attribute it to God.
Well, there's not, really nothing you can attribute to poisons in the environment. I don't really can't think can explain the drop in the sperm count.
Not yet.
And I think it also has to do with this chupacabra creature.
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra. You know, starting to come out more, being more obvious instead of hidden. It's for the same reason that we're running out of spiritual energy, so it's having to come out and attack people or animals.
Well, as far as I know, it has attacked no people yet. They call it the goat sucker, and we've been getting weekly reports from Linda Howe on it. We're hearing more and more about it. It is some sort of creature that leaves two marks like a vampire on some part of the body. And then further in the body, there are more marks or puncture wounds. It's really odd. Who knows what it is? Chupacabra. Down in Puerto Rico, South America, and a couple of reports of chupacabra action in the U.S. I hope we don't start finding people like that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Jim in Owensboro.
Hello, Kentucky. Jim. Owensboro, Kentucky. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, this Richard Hoagland stuff is rather intriguing.
Yes, it is. Jim, are you having a problem listening to your radio?
Do what?
Are you having a problem listening to your radio there, Jim?
Oh, no, no, no problem. It's turned down. I can't hear it.
Okay, well then, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Well, thanks for the call, Jim. Have a good morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Well, regarding this idea that, you know, civilization collapsed, yeah, partly, but a lot of the population is almost what you would call functionally semi-atheist. I mean, you know, we got evolution and pragmatics and what have you.
What is a functional semi-atheist?
Someone who lives like one. I mean, they might go to church or they might not, but their concept of God, if any, is very amorphous, and it does not affect their behavior. Their real primary value is, you know, making a buck and so on. I don't think these people are going to be that much impacted by life from elsewhere. However,
May I please ask you where you are? I can hear about 1,000 people in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in a bar.
You're in a bar.
The only phone I could use, my own phone's shut off for the moment.
Oh, I see.
But I'm trying to block some of it up here. Anyway, the thing is, though, I'm the one that runs that web page, www.advweb.com/kw. And on that page, I make the point that I think that this extraterrestrial life actually supports creationism. And here's my logic. On the one hand, the Bible doesn't say God did not make life elsewhere. If you assume a creator, then you can assume he's going to be doing some other stuff unless he says he didn't, and he doesn't say he didn't. So the possibility's there. Deuteronomy, I think it's 30, verse 4.
All right, well,
Matthew also point to the farthermost parts of heaven as places of which believers would eventually be brought. Repentant, once scattered, and so on.
All right, well, look, I'm going to bail out of this one because, number one, it's too noisy. Number two, I would prefer that you don't quote directly from the Bible. However, your point is well taken, nevertheless, that nowhere is it said that God did not do work elsewhere. And I think that is what the upshot of what she was trying to say, and that's right. Nowhere does it really say God did not do work elsewhere. It simply didn't say one way or the other. So it's possible. Of course it's possible. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Bud from Bozeman.
Hi, Bud.
We had an emergency meeting tonight at our local militia to find out what was going on. And luckily, we had a couple of our representatives there, of our state legislatures there.
Yes, sir.
And what we're trying to do is get our representatives to start a grassroots movement to remove Montana from the War Powers Act.
From the War Powers Act?
Yes.
Is the standoff going on roughly as I described? Is that your knowledge?
There's been quite a bit of a confliction going over this. We asked our representative, Jack Wilson, our local representative, to get a hold of the FBI. which he did. He called some people in Denver, I believe. And they said that there's been two men arrested. Of course, you know that already.
Yes, sir.
They were arrested at the post office when they went to pick up some mail.
Yes, sir.
The FBI also said that they are not moving against the Freeman at this time. And they're two ridges away from them, so they're not putting any pressure on these people at this moment. And let's see, what else did I want to tell
you? Well, I hope we don't end up with another Waco.
Well, that's what everybody's concerned about. They also said, the FBI said, that the arraignment is going to be at 1 o'clock in Billings, and that the news conference is going to come off right after the arraignment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the Patriots, we don't advocate anything at all toward violence, and anybody concerning this, we strongly oppose that.
Well, what is concerning me now is what has always concerned me, and that is that other militia groups will begin moving in that direction, which they probably will.
Yes, I can't speak for any other,
I understand.
Any other groups, but our group is, our legislator suggested that if we go to Billings that we should take our cameras with us and do this totally peaceful and just make a, you know, let the government know that we're watching them and that any of these arrests that come out, they got to be strictly according to the law. And we're also concerned that there's a lot of people, government employees, that are plotting against these people.
I know. It's
unconstitutionally.
All right, sir. All right, we're going to have to hold it there. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
We go to the lines. Here's my caller from Las Vegas, right?
Yes, that's right. My name is Ryan.
Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan. Very good. Thank you for holding on.
No problem.
And you are a Christian homosexual who plans to get married if the law allows for it.
I desire it.
You desire it. All right.
I desire it. I've been waiting for the day, and I'm excited about these new happenings in San Francisco.
I can imagine, right? Hold on,
yes.
Ryan. Hold on. Let's
okay.
see who else we've got here. Your first name, please?
Is John.
John. Okay, John and Ryan, you're both on the air. The debate's all yours.
Ryan, did you want to go first, or was it Brian, I'm sure?
Why don't you take the lead?
It's Ryan.
It's Ryan, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'll go the lead this way. I'm interested to know that you said you are a Christian and things of that sort.
Yes, I am.
From my understanding of the Bible, and it's pretty much labeled out there pretty clearly that in God's eyes, two men being together is an abomination. Also, one of the reasons Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of that practice become more and more pronounced. My feeling is somewhat of, is the ripple effect of society. The more things that you let get away, the more rules and rules that you start breaking, and you try to, it just becomes more of a ripple effect where you lose your whole semblance of civilization.
Or you're bringing up another concept here, which is that freedom is safety. Freedom, everything this society does to make things free is to make things safe, and I don't agree with that.
Which one do you want?
With freedom comes a certain responsibility, and safety does not equal freedom.
Okay, first let's take it one at a time.
Okay, well,
you said you were Christian. How about the abomination? How about Sodom and Gomorrah and things of that sort?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. As far as the destruction of a city because it started practicing a situation.
I believe there was other things going on there.
That's true. It's true.
I believe there were many other elements taking place there. I believe that love is all you need. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
How about,
you know,
abomination among, in the eyes of the Lord? I'm just going from your Christian point of view right now, and then we'll go back to freedom.
Well, what was your question again?
I said, how about an abomination in the eyes of the Lord?
There's no abomination being taking place here.
Well, if you're,
as far as I can see,
if you're saying that homosexuality is okay and you should be able to get married and be able to live that type of life, that's exactly what you're professing.
I profess to be a Christian. I also profess that marriage is not solely a religious ceremony in this country. It is a legal thing, and the fact is that you can get, as he said before, you can get married in a courthouse without any legal, without any religious ramifications. You know what I'm saying? And,
I understand that point. I'll go back there because that's your stronger of the two. But
yes.
I'm kind of curious, how do you reconcile the fact of an abomination as far as I'm going back to the, how do you, as a Christian?
I don't believe that the Bible ever spoke of homosexuality persistently as an abomination.
You don't see it as being a natural act between two men?
Oh, God, no. You can go back to the Greeks, where homosexuality was perfectly...
I'm talking within, once again, the Judeo-type Christian type...
Judeo-Christian. I believe in Christ, and I believe in the Bible.
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Well, I don't think I'll go along with. We'll get off this. You'll find that you're on pretty slippery slope as far as.
I'd like to go back to your to the beginning of the conversation. To the beginning, I've listened to this show for the first time tonight.
Sure.
And at the beginning of the show, he was playing a song by Kraftwerk.
Mm-hmm.
Kraftwerk were vehemently gay, homosexual people, and I'd like to know. You know, the view of that.
Well, see, my thoughts are that if you look at all, and your point about the Greeks is well taken. But
wait a minute. First of all, I don't know what song he's referring to. Secondly, what...
The song I'm referring to is the song you started out your show with.
No, I started...
Which is a Germanic...
No. I started out the show with a song from Midnight Express.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Well, don't tell me what I did, sir. I'm telling you, I've done it for the last 12 years. So don't tell me what I started my show with.
And it was very Kraftwerkian.
Yeah, but I don't see what that has to do with
it. Either do I. So what? There are a lot of artists that are homosexual. That is not the question. The question is homosexual marriage.
Right. And the point being is, for one thing, I don't think you did a very good job in defending your Christianity. But I'm not going to... I believe in Jesus Christ being love anyway. But I think if you check out the Old Testament and the Bible, you'll find that some of the statements I'm making are pretty accurate. But also, let's go back into the idea of freedom as far as going back into government.
Okay.
Why should I sanctify something that I don't believe in? I like women, so should I be able to have five or six wives? Is that right?
Do I think so?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'd hope you'd have to say yes, wouldn't you?
I would have to actually say no.
Why
really?
Because I do believe that marriage is a sanctity between two people that love each other.
All right, what about a brother and a sister?
A union.
What about a brother and a sister?
A brother and a sister?
Yes.
I believe you should let that up, leave that up to them. I really do.
I think Milton Bradley...
Freedom is not about safety. Freedom is about choices and living with the ramifications... And the punishments and of your choices.
So a brother and sister should be allowed to get married.
If that is their choice, they should be able to do what they want.
But you wouldn't allow me to have more than one woman. Even though the Mormons, which is another, if you want to go religious.
You were talking about a brother and sister... engaging in sexual activities, or were you referring to a brother and sister...
Marriage.
...actually getting married?
Subject is marriage. Marriage.
Okay.
And I'll go back to what Art asked before.
It's still two people? It's still a union?
Why only two?
Why only two?
Life is about choices.
Exactly.
I'm using your words.
Yes.
So then why can't three people make a choice to get married? You said you were against that.
I'd like to get back to the craft work.
All right. Well, we're going to end it right here. I think we'll end it right there. I guess when we give up on arguments, we have various ways of hanging up. And his was to talk about a song I didn't play. I have no idea what he was talking about. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, this is Anton from Missoula. I'm so liberal, I'm going to scare everybody tonight. Put me on with that redneck you just had on there a second ago.
He's already gone.
Oh, darn it. That poor little guy in Las Vegas, he was confused. Listen, people just need to get out of other people's business.
Okay, look, let me put you through the same hoops I put him through then, all right?
Okay.
You're obviously in favor of gay marriage.
I am in favor of privacy and gay marriage, yes. No one should be able to tell you who you choose to love and who you choose to stay with and recognize legally as your partner.
All right, fine. All right, let's go from there then. What about somebody who wants to marry their sister? No problem?
Well, there's a problem genetically. I think that there's a genetic... We have, like, a genetic disposition.
Yeah, but wait a minute now.
Now, you're thinking morally, and I'm headed there. I'm just saying that we would consider it sick. All of us, we would look at it and we'd go, oh, that's awful, because we have a genetic outlook. Now, we're not in their shoes. We don't know. And the truth is, it's none of our business.
All right. You're saying, despite the genetic problems or the possibility of a malformation or whatever,
right,
they should be allowed to do that. In other words, yes, a brother and sister ought to be able to get married if they want to.
Well, in a perfect world, yeah, as long as we could all say, you know, they need help or whatever we could say to make us feel better, to realize that it doesn't hurt us. Maybe it hurts them, but it's not any of our business what they do to themselves. As long as we're happy and just kind of love each other,
going to love each other. All right, well, what about the product of this marriage that has to be taken care of by society because they can't afford it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the incest issue, I just don't know. I don't have that answer.
We'll leave that one then.
Be out of each other's.
All right. We'll leave that one. What about three people who want to get married?
Right on. No. Bring them to me. No, that's up to people, too. You know, that's their own choice. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of studies that prove that polygamy is a lot better for raising children, that actually the average people who go into polygamy have much higher IQs than the average citizen. It's a better atmosphere for raising and being with children. There's no breakdown of morals there. I think that Christianity's kind of embedded this fear of, you know, the sex that goes on, but that's just our morbid fascination. You know, that's not... You just have to leave people alone. You have to let them choose their course in life and let them live life and live our own lives and stay out of people's personal, very personal love affairs.
So
when it comes down to bringing in mental retarded children because of genetic defects, that's a really tough one. I mean, there's a line that society just has to say, you cannot do this to someone. You know, you're a brother and sister. You need help. We can't hurt your love affair, but we cannot... We can't condone a marriage that may bring someone into the world that won't have as good a chance at living as the rest of us.
One could argue that a homosexual union that would then adopt would provide a home that would psychologically in some way harm that child.
Not at all. Not at all.
No?
As a matter of fact, I think it's completely off. I think that child is going to grow up a lot more open in a society that is today... We're moving away from the chains and the old religious values. We're moving into a technological society that is
clear.
Out of people's lives. We'll
That's
have
clear.
Our own person. If we have to just stay...
So you would say polygamy for good family values?
I would say polygamy for it's your own business and nobody gets hurt. I mean, no one... Literally, do what you want to do as long as no one else gets hurt. And polygamy is a situation where no one gets hurt, not even psychologically. So is the same-sex marriage. No one is getting hurt there, especially us who are judging it. And there's one thing that all these, you know, people, all these Christians, so-called, calling in, what the hell ever happened to thou shalt not judge? You know, pull the thorns out of your own eye. You can believe in God vehemently, love him vehemently, but don't use him to hurt others or to defy others, their lives. They're here. God trusts them to make their own choices, and he will watch them. Nobody else's business. We should just stay right the heck out of that. Let people live.
All right. Look, I've got another one. This is a night for debates. Can you hold?
Sure.
All right. What is your first name, by the way?
Anton.
I'm sorry?
Anton.
A-N-T-H-O-N?
A-N. Anson. You made me forget my own name. I'm so nervous. A-N-S-Y-N. Anson.
Oh, Anson.
Yeah, Anson. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
Well, you were really cranked up there, Anson. All right.
Oh,
hold on a moment. So Anson is a devout believer in the homosexual union and homosexual marriage. Anybody want to take on Anson? We'll be right back. Back to the lines we go, and I believe it's Anson. Is Anson, right?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, Anson, you're on the air, and here comes your debate partner, and she is?
Alice.
It's Anson and Alice.
Hello, Alice.
Alice, where are you?
I'm in Illinois.
Illinois. And Anson, where are you?
I'm in Missoula, Montana.
All right. The two of you are on the air. Go for it.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. To begin with, Anson, this is not the same-sex relationship or partnership, whatever descriptive term you want to call it, is not a part of God's gift of life.
Did God tell you that, ma'am?
And yes, in the Bible.
Did God write the Bible, ma'am? No, he did not.
He gave it to prophets. Here
he gave
on
it
this
to them.
Planet.
You're just gonna, it's been
and
recycled.
He gave it to Jesus, the Word to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the Bible, right?
Right.
I mean,
sure.
It's his
sure.
life, the second half of the Bible.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
All right.
But okay, but now let's look at this planet as a whole. The
mm-hmm.
whole planet itself.
Right.
Do you agree that God created this planet?
Not in the way you think he did, but yeah, for that.
However he did. I don't think he just said, okay, let that planet be Earth, you know,
right,
et cetera.
Sure.
It took years and years and years.
Yeah, I think he did it through evolution.
Right. You can bring evolution into this, and mm-hmm. I can understand how they say evolution, and then
okay.
I think it all kind of grows together, honestly, myself.
Right. Okay.
But that's not what we're here for.
Right.
Okay. The planet itself, if you take it as its whole process, It depends on every other thing that's on this planet for this planet to keep surviving. You know, I mean, it feeds off of this energy, or the water comes along and it cleanses something and
mm-hmm.
and feeds this and et cetera. Okay, you know,
sure.
The winds do things; they help to sow the seeds and all
okay,
this.
Okay, I'm
stuff.
Pretty versed in geology.
Okay, so everything kind of evolves around one another. But neither of these things are the same, what do I want to say, the same, like the same sex, okay? They all have their part in life.
Well, ma'am, it's all life. Everything is life. And I don't want
right.
to get into the debate of life. What I'm trying to say is, it always comes back to the Bible, and they continually say, and I hear this over and over tonight, God said there should be no same-sex marriages. God said this. Now, the fact is, none of us quite know exactly what God said. The only thing we know is what God's put in each of our hearts. And I think that the one things that we can pretty much pick out of the Bible that work are the do unto others as you would have done to yourself. Don't judge. You know, basically, if God said anything, he said, don't be jerks to each other. Just love each other. Live
yes,
and live the life
exactly
I've given
right.
you. Don't try to crawl in everyone else's lives. Live your own and live it to the fullest. Now, you just can't go around saying that God is going to strike these people down or that there's judgment. Don't
that.
Even hope for that. Stay out of that,
that
because if there is a God, so help me, if there is, and I hope he is everything you've said he is, he will catch the people that are coming up into heaven that are all these little devout Christians that were like, God, I was there. I stomped all those gays into the dirt, and I told them not to live like this. And,
all right,
and
listen, you two, hold it.
They couldn't have marriages, and you
hold
know
it,
what?
Hold it, you two, hold it, hold it. We're out of time here at the bottom of the hour. Do you both want to hold on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you're both holding. Addison and Alice, two A's going at it. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996.
Once again, here we are, and I have Anson and Alice. Subject, homosexual marriage, and they're both back on the air again. It's all yours, folks. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Alice. I was...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I kind of forgot what you last said.
Well, I was making the point that I guess I was getting angry, but in a roundabout way, I was getting to the idea that God's going to judge us on our life, and that when we, you know, if I'm trying to relate to what you believe, you know, to the Bible, to His teaching. I grew up in it very heavily, and I've come to get a very different outlook on it now. And if you choose to live your life trying to tell others how to live and trying to judge them, you're wasting your time. That's not your job. You're just here to live. And
oh, wait a minute, Anson.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute, please. I am not trying to tell anybody. I'm calling just to specifically give my viewpoint on this.
Because you just disagree with it.
Okay.
You just disagree with it, right?
No, I do not. I do not think it's right. I think it's against God's will.
And so they shouldn't be able to have
marriage. And Anson, it does say so in the Bible. So help me, one night as I was reading it, I found it. I found where he said it. And, you know, I regret it because I did not write down where I found it.
I know it's there, too, ma'am. You don't have to worry about it. I know it's there, too. You don't have to tell me where you found it. You don't have to quote to me. What I'm trying to tell you, okay, is that that's your belief. You found that in the Bible, so, okay, there, that's your belief. And, sure, there's a large amount of people in America who believe that way. But you know what? We don't all believe that way. We have the freedom of religion and choice. You can't force that belief on me, Alice.
Oh, no, I'm not
it's
trying
not,
to.
It's against it's against my rights for you to force that on me. Does it hurt you that these people are getting married? These gays that are getting married, they're
it doesn't hurt me. I just think it's terrible that they want
to
ruin their lives.
They're choosing to love. They are choosing to love, Alice. Are you against love?
Oh, no, not at all.
Is there something wrong with them loving? Do you know how rare it is for people to actually go out and make a conscious choice to love nowadays? There's people dying everywhere across this country.
Call it. I mean, I just don't. There's just a lot of things I don't want. Well, I'm not going to get into politics or anything like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
Alice,
I have other subjects.
It's good that you have those beliefs. And
that I'm
going to
disagree
yourself,
with
Alice.
A lot
should,
of other people.
You should live
on,
by
you know.
Them by yourself. You should not try to force them on other people. We have. There's a thing in our country, well, supposed to be, I don't think it actually exists, the separation of church and state. The state can go ahead and let people get married. They're choosing to love. They want to share that. They want to know that more people recognize it than just themselves, that their country is behind them. That's what the separation's there for, not because Christianity says, well, to hell with that, and stomps their foot down. No, it's not any of their business. It's the state's business, and it's the couple's business. And Alice, if they're choosing to love, you just let them love, honey, and you go do whatever it is that you do, and they won't bug you. And you don't bug. Well, how could it hurt you? How could it hurt anyone in this country to allow gay couples to get married? Who in this world is going to get hurt because of that? Tell me that. No one. And don't give me that crap about spreading AIDS.
Well, no, wait a minute. Answer. Let her answer one of the questions. You're answering your own questions, Anson. So, Alice, if you've got an answer for that, who's it going to hurt? Answer.
The only person that are the only ones that I see that it might hurt are the people themselves involved, And also, like you were speaking about raising the family, you know, children and that. I've heard other people talk on the radio earlier about it, and I do believe that if a child grows up in that type of environment, it will change their way of thinking. Now, you also argue back.
But do you think they're going to be gay if they grow up in a gay family?
Their mind open. And there are a lot of closed-minded people in this world.
Alice. You are one of the many closed-minded people.
No, I am not.
Yes,
no.
You are. Yes,
oh,
you are,
I'm
but that's
so
okay.
Open-minded,
you can be.
You would
I'm
not,
not
believe
I mean, you can
it.
Be. I don't think
I
there's
cannot
be a law
be,
to make us all open-minded.
I cannot be. I'm open-minded about this, but I cannot say that it's correct or that it's right. Okay.
Maybe according to your beliefs, it's not. But as far as the state, whether people can legally be married or not, it has nothing to do with beliefs. That doesn't. Your beliefs have no ramification in that realm. None. That deals with the people who are getting married. It's their beliefs, not yours, Alice. Not the people like you. It's the people that are getting married and the state. It's their beliefs. It's none of our business. None of it.
Now, the state, what are you talking about? The state.
The government.
The government is my business. I pay the government.
So,
to
in other words,
what
so
they
you want to you wanna use the government to interfere with religious beliefs. You don't believe that there should be freedom of religion.
Yes, I do.
Then
but
why
I
the
think
hell
that,
do you want to get in there and interrupt
minute.
Somebody's
you
marriage?
See, wait a minute. I can go down the street here, and there's all kinds of different churches on this street. Okay?
Is there a gay church on the street?
No.
If there was, would you not
there
want there
to be? There isn't any in my town, okay?
Oh, because you guys can vote them out, or what?
No.
Would you want to?
I guess because we're just a small town.
Oh,
but
small towns don't have gay people?
Here. I don't know why. There might be in St. Louis, which ain't too far from us, you know.
Right, but you wouldn't want, if somebody said, okay, we're going to vote to see if it's okay for these people to get married, you'd say, no, it's against God's law, and I'm going to vote for no.
No. Now listen to me, Anson. I didn't call to condemn you.
No, I'm not
it's
gay.
It's not for
I'm,
me
you're
to
not
condemn.
Me. I'm
God's
not gay.
Going
I'm
to do that. Not me.
Extraordinarily
I do not judge. I am just telling you my belief. And that I read the Bible, I believe what God says. Everything that's in that Bible is going way back to wherever,
yeah,
to Adam and Eve.
That's fine. That's not
everything in there is an example of life. It happened back then. It's
for
happening
you,
now.
For you and for other Christians, but not for everyone. Other
oh,
people
just
can
Christians?
Get examples.
No,
God will do other people in his own
way. Everybody. Everybody.
No, not everybody. It's called freedom. If it was for everybody, Alice, if it was for everybody, it wouldn't be freedom. It would be the way it is. It would be the law, the rule. You couldn't, it would not be freedom.
Anson, I'm sorry. That
it would be control.
Stuff on things. I really am.
You're sorry
but
about what?
It is not. The Bible, is. You say you read the Bible. You claim you're a Christian.
No, I didn't claim I was a Christian. I said I have a whole different take on it now.
Oh, sorry about that. I misunderstood.
No, I don't want to claim to be something that's
hypocritical. But didn't you say that you go to a church?
Christianity is a dying tree, okay? It's in its last legs. It's fighting now desperately to come back. But you know
what?
The world's changing, and it's going to die by the wayside unless it learns to open up in love and just teach people to love instead of teaching them to hate.
Lampson even says that in the Bible that the church is going to fade away in the end times.
What
and
is?
If you are with Art Bell and read all his little notes and, get his monthly newsletter and all that, and if you keep up with all the subjects that he has, the quickening is here. I'm sorry. And, yes, the church
then why
is going, there is,
worry
it even
about
says
why people are
in
get
the
married.
Bible
if,
that
if
the church
is quickening
is,
and the apocalypse is coming and God's going to ride in on a horse and save all the Christians, then why worry about who's getting married? God will handle them, won't he, Alice?
Oh, yes, I know that.
Then leave it to that. Let them believe what they'll believe and let you believe what you believe. Let them get married. It doesn't
matter. Why are you on this phone? Why are you on the phone, Art Bell's phone, willing to take on people to argue with them when you won't even let them have their own freedom
no,
to say
you
what
to.
They
I
feel.
I want you to have your beliefs, Alice. You are so confused. You can
I
have your
not
beliefs.
Confused.
I want you to. You need to be, but you,
you are
have
the one
to stop trying to stop other people from having their beliefs, Alice. You're the one that has kind of lost the focus here.
Fine,
you need
you
to
sure
just leave people alone.
Storm,
Christians can't go around
you?
Stuffing Christianity down everyone's throat. I don't need your stamp of approval on my butt to get into heaven. I'll put it there myself, or God will put it there
I don't,
myself.
I'm not giving you a stamp of approval.
Then, Alice,
don't you understand?
Alice, you are, Alice. You're giving everyone
no,
one. You say it's wrong. For you, it's wrong, Alice, but not for everyone. Just for you and for Christians. So Christians should gather and they should say, okay, this is wrong. And everyone would be like, okay, that's cool. The Christians think that's wrong. That's fine. The Christians can. They won't do it then. They can stick to their own moral beliefs, and they can, and that's good. That's really good for them. That's awesome that they can stay in those ideals. But Christianity cannot, on the same foot, turn around and restrict other people. Christianity should look at it that way, too. They should say, we believe this way, and hey, that's really nice that the gays believe that way. I'm glad they're choosing to love, at least. Try to look for something nice there. We don't believe that way. We don't think it's right, but you're choosing to love. You know. God will handle you. You have our blessing.
All right, listen, you two.
Like
listen, you two. We're out of time. Thank you both very much. That was a really good debate. And from it, on Anson's side, I seem to detect the theory that for Christianity to survive, it will have to become the biggest tent of all, embracing homosexual marriage, embracing all that it is. Been taught it does not believe in. It will have to embrace all that is said to be wrong, and anything that is done in the name of love will have to be embraced, lest Christianity will die. We'll be right back. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Bell?
That's me.
I was listening to your radio right now.
Yes.
Yes, I was just calling. I was calling in regard to the last guy was on there. Are we off that subject?
Yeah, well, no. Look, I have open lines. You talk about anything you want.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I just want to tell you real quick. I was in Alaska. Just a real quick story. I was in Alaska, and I was in King Salmon, Alaska. My brother flew me up there. And I was up there. I had nothing to listen to but a little bitty radio.
Right.
And I had a generator out there for electricity.
Yes.
And I called my mother up, and she goes, what are you doing? And I said, I found this guy on the radio called Art Bell. And she goes, I listen to him every night.
Really?
And this was in King Salmon, Alaska, and I've been listening to you ever since.
Well, that's excellent. Where are you now?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City. All right.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
And that's where my mom's at. I came back. They recently retired, and I came back to visit them. And she's probably listening upstairs right now. I'm not sure.
Well, say hi.
Okay, well, I will. Hello, Mother. Okay. Well, Mr. Bell, and she got your newsletter and all that stuff, and I really think you're just a really intelligent man on all kinds of subjects.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, fantastic. And you got your newsletter, and you don't look anything like what I thought you would look like.
What did you think I would look like?
Well, you know, I don't know, Art. It didn't really, when I see the picture, I said, is that Art Bell? Sure enough. Maybe I pictured a Rush Limbaugh. Oh, don't take that as an insult.
No. Nowhere close to Rush Limbaugh.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about just something off the wall here?
Sure.
Okay, I got a chance. They had a liquidation on trailers. I just moved back here to Kansas City.
Right.
And they were liquidating trailers that were condemned at a mobile home place.
Yes.
Okay, it was 14 by 70 foot.
Yes.
I went down there and worked my behind off and got it out of there. Now, is there any way that I can get that thing titled and make it my own, or the city condemned it?
I think that what you need to do, thank you very much, is call Bruce Williams. He gives that kind of advice. I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I'm sorry, I don't give out that kind of advice. You need to be an attorney or something or another. I don't know what it would take to get it titled. Dear Art, I cannot imagine why anyone would want to get married, period. I tried it. I didn't like it. But if gay people want to marry, they should have the same right of choice as any other citizen to equate gay marriages with extreme or bizarre behaviors is a reach. That's from Liberal Sue in Illinois. A lot of liberal calls been coming from Illinois this morning. Interesting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, is there a chance I could ask Art Bell a question?
This is Art Bell, sir. We don't screen calls.
Whoa, I got my radio on. I guess I'm on the West Coast. I must be on a delay.
Everett, we're all on a delay, sir.
Okay, I'll
turn your radio off. We don't screen calls, and yes, we do have a delay, so you've got to turn your radio off
okay.
right away. All right, go ahead.
Art, I listened to you. I'd like to get on the on your mailing list there for the newsletter.
Okay. Do you know the number?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you want to know it?
I sure would.
1-800-917-4278.
4278.
Yep.
All right. I'm in a situation here as a divorced non-custodial parent. I'm here in Spokane, Washington, and my 4-year-old and my 19-month-old daughter are back with their mother and grandmother in Ohio. There's no basis, as far as communication goes, for being able to reason with these two ladies, because they cannot comprehend that children need a father and a mother. The conversations that you've had on tonight, because I'm an insomniac, don't sleep too much, so I listen to you.
Right.
You know, it's been funny listening to people who talk a lot about God, but they don't really know God at all, because they just don't believe in Christianity. And then the other half, they really do. And
well, I thought the last debate was interesting. The man, the man was making the case
yeah.
that Christianity is on its last legs. To survive, yeah. he said, it's going to have to embrace all that it does not embrace.
That's right. And I except for a few minutes there at the break, I heard most of everything that he said. When it comes to communicating, I need to ask your advice on how to do this with a mother of two kids who doesn't believe fathers have any rights. She doesn't believe that if right now I'm negotiating with her for getting my son for the summer, I don't get my daughter until summer of 97. She left while I was at work. She left Spokane here in the dead of winter back in 94. And it's just every time I call to talk to the kids, it's a fight. Every time I go back there to actually visit them, either for a birthday or for Christmas, I get my daughter for maybe 30 minutes or an hour at a time.
Well, your redress, obviously I could give you things to say to her, but she doesn't sound like she can be reasoned with, so go to court.
Well, we've been there, done that, a lot of waste of money. The attorneys won. They got the money out of us, and
yes, but you must have certain visitation rights.
On paper, I do. The thing is, the the boy is registered as being from the state of Washington, and this is where this thing was handled. Mm-hmm. They're living in Ohio under a different set of rules, and it's like
I hear you.
You got to buy attorneys back there. You got to buy attorneys here.
I know.
And I'm going back to school to get a better career in a different field so I can take better care of the kids. And I didn't know if you've ever dealt in a situation like this. Most women that I have met, most women who call in to somebody like you, who get on the radio or get on the talk shows, their attitude is, you know, I would love to have an ex-husband that wants to take an interest in the kids. I would love to be able to communicate and work things out. This is an individual where it's like this was a grandmaster scheme and a plan to begin yep. with way up front.
Well, look, she's probably manifesting her dislike, active dislike, even hatred for you, by punishing you, by not allowing you to see the children. So I don't think you're going to get anywhere with her. You're doing the right thing. Get yourself a career going. Afford a lawyer, hire one in Ohio, and go after her. That's all you can do.
Yeah. My father-in-law, who's about the only friend I have, said, you know, Scott, my daughter's hated me for the last 15, 20 years, and you've just now misplaced that hatred onto you from her.
Yep.
But he says, you got to realize she's
yep.
always been tied to her mother. That's why her mother and I divorced back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the mistake of letting the mother-in-law move in with you before you guys even had your marriage off the ground. We were only married 2 years.
Well, it's too bad he didn't give you that advice before you tied the knot.
Yeah, before we tied the knot would have been perfect. I got the advice about a year after we tied the knot, and by that time, mother-in-law pretty much controlled the household, and I put up with it for 2 years, sir, and after that, I just said, you know, this isn't working out. And
maybe you ought to file suit against him for not telling you. Listen, sir, I honestly don't have the answer. I think you're on the right course, though. I would develop your career. I'd hire lawyers, and it's going to be expensive, you know, like most things in life are. I wish I had more advice for you than that. I don't. Once a child is taken to a different state, the laws of that state are the ones that count. And if you're going to try litigation, it's going to have to be in that state. All right. We're going to break here at the top of the hour. Those of you who leave us at this hour, take care. For everybody else, we'll be back in about five.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 25th, 1996.
Would somebody out there do me a big favor and fax me... Do you remember what I read last week? The psychiatric hotline. If you're schizophrenic, do this. If you're manic depressive, do that. Press this or that. Would somebody fax me that or email me that? I lost my copy. And it definitely is one of my favorites. Art, I can't put my hands on the reference source right now, but I know I've seen studies of isolated pre-technological societies that practice plural marriages, and curiously, their family values are very strong. The social groups practically free of all forms of violence. Now, I don't recommend that we adopt these practices ourselves, but you cannot convince me that such a society is inherently immoral. The church I grew up in would hold that such a society must be saved. And that I do consider profoundly immoral. So why should I listen to them concerning gays? Your pal in Escondido, Tom D. P.S. I know what Leviticus says, but Jesus never said one word. Not one. By the way, there's somebody who keeps faxing me, and I can read the top of it. It says, dangerously mind-opening. Don't read it. And no problem, because I can't. This guy's been faxing me for a long time. There's something terribly wrong with his fax machine, sir. Whoever you are, you should save your phone bill or get a new fax machine, because there is something wrong with your scanner, and your faxes don't ever come out. Just thought you'd want to know. I was able to read enough of it, so I hope you can identify who you are. Don't fax me, because I can't read them. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Oh, fine.
This is Mike from Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Waving a hand at you.
Yeah, all right.
We still doing a debate on this marriage thing for homosexuals?
These are open lines, sir. What do you
all
want to
right.
talk about whatever you want.
Well, first off, I just want to say that I think I know why the sperm count is down.
Why is that?
Well, homosexuality, number one. Maybe maybe one of God's little punishments, you know.
Sounds to me like you're still talking about the same topic.
Well, you know, God created man. Man was lonely. Asked God to create woman. Okay, fine. Everything's great and dandy. Man destroys God. Woman inherits the earth.
All right. Thank you. There was a little bit somebody sent me last week which I really liked. It was a man having a conversation with God. Actually, it was Adam. Adam having a conversation with God. And he said, God, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. God said, I shall create for you the most beautiful, wondrous, creature attentive to your every need. As a matter of fact, Adam, she will think of your need before you even have it. She will anticipate and bring to you everything you want. She will be the perfect woman. Adam said, okay, cool. What do I need to give up for this? And God said, well, your left foot, your left hand, and your left testicle. And Adam thought very seriously about it for a while and said, God, what can I get for a rib? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing okay.
Well, everybody has missed the point in about the marriage. I'm a homosexual.
Where are you calling from, sir?
From Bakersfield. My name is Raphael.
KNZR, all right.
Yep. The thing is that never none of the people that discussed it talk about the effects. I mean, for instance, if in a couple of homosexuals, if one dies, that one gets nothing, no rights. Or if one goes to a hospital, the other one doesn't have any right to visit, things like that. They never touch that. They only went for the thing about God or things like that. To start with, marriage is not a religious thing. Marriage has been with men forever. Communists do get married, Chinese do get married, and they're not Christian.
Well, what about the facts that I just had? That said, a lot of primitive, relatively primitive, pre-technological cultures have been discovered that have extended families, multiple people involved in what appears to be a marriage, and their family values are fine.
Right. Also that. But, for instance, even the Aborigines in Australia, very primitive society, have marriage.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. But it's not marriage as we Christians define it. It is not a man and a woman in a union with God, before God, in God's eyes, however you want to put it. It's something else. And, you know, the faxer has a point. It's something to contend with, something to think about. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
This is Lance from Kansas City, and I got cut off before I got the answer.
Before you got what answer?
Asking about the trailers.
Listen on the air. We're still on the air there. I gave the answer on the air, Lance. I don't have the answer for you. I don't give that kind of advice. So I hope you got it that time. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Arthur, me boy.
Yes.
Top of the morning to you.
And to you.
This be Mitch, the magic Christian, calling you from beautiful Ventura by the Sea.
All right, Mitch.
Yeah, I thought I'd weigh in on our homosexuality issue this morning.
Yes.
Of course, as you well know, by my moniker, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Therefore, I've got to come down on the side of our somewhat. My brothers and sisters this morning have been somewhat slow spoken, I've noticed, and a little bit less than well armed when it comes to the battle of wits, especially when it came to Anson. Well, that guy was a machine gun, wasn't he?
Yeah. All right. So you've got the answers. Give them.
Well, hands down, I mean, in the scriptures, what we call and we revere as the written word of God, what has come down to us today, say the King James Version, which is about 350 years old now, it's clearly stated in both the Old Testaments and the New Testaments that it's an unacceptable, sinful behavior. And as for the, thou shalt not judge, you know, you have to take everything in context.
Okay, Mitch. The magic Christian or whatever you are, let's think about it this way. Sinful, wrong, you may believe that, I may believe that. However, marriage today is not only conducted in a church, it's conducted in front of civilly, in front of a justice of the peace.
Okay, you want to separate?
Let me finish.
All right.
There, Mr. Magic. And who are we to judge? In other words, America is supposed to be the land of the free.
We the people.
Are the land of the free?
Yes.
Home of the brave?
Uh-huh.
What exactly does freedom mean, Mitch?
Not license.
Not license?
Right. It's freedom with responsible behavior.
Freedom with responsible behavior. Okay. I'll buy that. Is it responsible for the for people to march down Main Street holding up Nazi banners?
Well, now you're getting into some ticklish territory. I believe, along with the ACLU.
Ticklish.
I'm not a member of the ACLU, but I agree with their stand on this issue.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
Freedom of speech is absolute.
It is?
Yes.
Well, then, what about when you burn a flag, Mitch?
Well, I would rather that people not do it, but I'm all for it not being prohibited.
Not being prohibited.
Right.
Well, the homosexual would make the same argument with regard to their ability to marry.
Right. Well,
in other words, you don't have to be for it or agree with it, but they should be free to do it and undergo the same civil ceremony that Mitch might.
You know, in legal debate, they do have grounds to stand on as far as the minority versus the majority argument. But as it stands, as of this moment, the majority is still ruling on issues of this type. And we say, as a society, we are not willing to confer.
But that makes you sound like Mitch the magical hypocrite.
No. It isn't just a religious issue. There are a whole litany of financial ramifications, insurance rates, you know.
There absolutely are, and most of those arguments would be on their side.
Oh, no.
Take, for example, the guy who called whose mate died.
Okay.
All right. The legal entanglements for them were horrible. Horrible. And the help that would be given to a normal couple would not come because they are not married. And then once the partner died, the legal ramifications are horrible.
I understand that.
You do.
Yes.
But you don't care.
Well, it's not that I don't care. I mean, I am a caring individual. We're, as Christians, to love all men. Just hate to sin. No, I'm talking about things like, anal sex, for one thing. I'd be willing for there to be laws allowing insurance companies to deny policies to people who have been proven to practice anal sex, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual. But, of course, as we well know, it's practiced far more frequently in the homosexual community.
Yes.
But it is a medically dangerous...
Well, I would think that an insurance company would be well within its rights to take that risk as it assesses other risks when it insures.
Right. It's a risky behavior, though.
That isn't what we're discussing, though. We're discussing whether or not there should be marriage.
Well, that's one of the. See, when you start giving a legal imprimatur to a marriage between two people, you are putting your social compact behind it as well. I mean, it affects the whole fabric of society. Jay Sekulow, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a lawyer.
Well, an insurance company presently has a right to assess a higher premium rate to somebody who smokes.
Correct, and they should be able to do that. And that's a risky behavior. So
right.
Is anal sex.
Yes, it is. But I don't think it makes your argument. It doesn't make your argument. It just makes the argument that that somebody should be assessed a higher premium rate based on increased risk. I have no argument with that. Nor, by the way, do I agree that homosexuals should be married. I just say their argument is fairly profound legally. The only place that it doesn't work is morally. And so then we get down to the question of what America means. Does it mean freedom? What does freedom mean? Does it mean the freedom to be wrong? Does it mean the freedom to sin? Does it mean that society must put some sort of stamp of approval on sin if necessary? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Shane from Nevada.
Shane, you're on the wrong line then. This is the East of the Rockies line. Thank you very much. The line you want to call is 1-800-618-8255. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the technical neural implant situation that's going on.
About what?
Technical neural implant. I don't know if anybody knows about this, but I would like to talk about it.
Do you have an implant?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Yes.
You think somebody implanted you with what?
An implant. Like when I went to surgery, people have that going on all across the nation.
What kind of implant do you have?
It can make, it could, like at the test site, they can all.
They implanted you at the test site?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does this implant make you do?
At the hospital, they implanted it.
Yeah, what does it make you do?
It could trigger a reaction to make you do things that you not normally do.
Like what?
Like go out and commit some crimes or something.
Really? You know what I think?
What?
I think you're making up excuses for your own bad behavior.
Yeah, no.
That's what I think.
No, that's not.
That's not, that couldn't be it, huh?
But Kraftwerk is very cool.
All right, well, thanks. Goodbye. Tell it to the judge. Judge, the implant made me do it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tim in Minneapolis.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. This homosexuality between and marriage, I don't see that as exclusively just a moral issue, as you said. I think that if the state's going to acknowledge it, that it should be beneficial to the state. I mean, if they're going to be receiving benefits, shouldn't it benefit society?
Well, in what way greater than a heterosexual union or marriage now benefits society?
Well, for example, I think it's been proven over time that...
would you have them pay some sort of homosexual tax? Special tax?
I think it should benefit society if it's going to be acknowledged by the state.
Well, I ask again, in what way greater than or different than... a heterosexual union benefits society.
That's what I want to explain. If it's a man and a woman,
yes.
For example, if they have a child,
yes.
That child is going to be beneficial to that child and therefore to society. Now, if a man and a man, for example, adopt a child,
yes.
I think that should be their burden of proof to show that that will be beneficial to society.
Well, the burden of proof is only met by demonstration. In other words, by allowing them to adopt and then show they have raised a well-balanced contribution to society.
Well, aren't there examples of people who have raised children in that context?
Yes.
And what has happened there?
Well, I'm not an expert in the area, so I can't really tell you, but I'm sure there are those out there who can. I wish I could. I don't have that answer.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's... What I'm saying then is that's not society in a whole problem. That's those people that desire those benefits. They should
come up with
however they need to.
Okay,
do it.
What about all the heterosexuals that get married and have children mm-hmm. that run around killing other children or throwing other kids out of windows? You know, what about them?
What about them? Yeah, I guess I don't understand.
Well, I'm going with your premise here,
right?
And I'm asking. What about the heterosexual couple that raises a child that turns out to kill others or do something awful?
I don't think anybody's raising the child intentionally to kill somebody. If you can obviously show that, I guess I don't see the point there. I don't.
Well, all right. Listen, I've got to run. I'm sorry, but the point I think. I do see. At least I saw your premise, and you just couldn't figure out a way to answer what I said. You were suggesting that the burden of proof be on those who raise the child. And I was saying, well then, okay, fine. What about the heterosexuals who raise a child that doesn't turn out well? What should happen to them? We'll be back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Top of the morning, everybody. Here is a fax addressed to Alice in Wonderland. That would be Alice of the debate, I'm sure. Regarding caller Alice's statement about Christianity being for everyone, I was a Christian, and that God, little G, never paid the little never paid the least bit of attention to me. I also saw at a very young age what Christian dogma was doing to the world, beginning with Genesis, when God, little G, gave Adam, the guy, domination over the earth, etc., etc. Right. Well, Alice, Christianity is not for everyone. I'm a neo-pagan. I do not worship anything. Worship is for slaves. I have learned to honor the earth, life, human beings, freedom, and choice. I work with and enjoy the company of beings conveniently referred to as gods and goddesses, beings who have been in consciousness for millennia, who are non-human, non-physical, very wise, and willing to teach, beings who have no need or desire to be worshipped. These are the same old ones of our pagan ancestors, and pagan means only from the countryside. The gods of nature, neo-pagans honor everyone's choice to believe as they wish. This includes the right of gay men and women to love one another and marry. Love and pleasure were the gifts of the goddesses to humankind. Sex was once viewed as life force. In this world of violence and suffering, any love engaged in is a big improvement over the status quo. I support the right of anyone to love. Great right in the Wiccan religion. The craft of the wise or witchcraft is the highest sacrament. Great right is sexual union. Wow, the joining of God and goddess, man, woman, or male-female energies within each of us. And that includes the joining of love of any gay couple. Grow up, Alice. This is a free country. Freedom of religion should be honored. If you don't believe in gay marriages, you should never marry a woman. Simple. Let others live according to their beliefs, which are many. Signed, Raven Wolf and Pagan Princess. Makes one wish Alice was back here. Wow. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Barbarians at the Gate, Chuck.
How you doing there?
Pretty good. Did you want to stick with homosexual marriages?
You mean
yes, no, because I had something dealing with this weekend while I was at work.
I don't know when people are ever going to learn. These are open lines.
Okay, well,
talk whatever you want to talk about. I don't care.
Okay, you know the artifacts on the moon and how all the Christians are getting upset and whatnot?
Yeah.
Nobody's advanced the proposition that perhaps God made the earth old to confuse us and challenge us with the element of faith. Ah-ha-ha. Why would he would put all these quandaries out there, because if God were to come down and say, look, I'm the omnipotent being, worship me, where goes our free will, his gift to us? It's out the window, because only a fool would say, oh, heck no, uh-uh.
That's
I
right.
got to, because
well,
you've
that's
just
right. But, all right, so then America... America, if we are the place we say we are, imposes no religion, state-sponsored or otherwise, on anybody.
Exactly.
It allows freedom to either worship or not to worship, yes?
Yes.
Does that include the freedom to have a union that that is described as an abomination in the Bible?
Yeah. I would say yes, it does. I would say yes, it does.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it does, because, plus, look at it from their point of view, and from the point of view of the society, even though we've gone completely off of what I was curious about, but say two people do love each other, okay, be they man-man, woman-woman, man-and-woman, and somebody wants to take care of them, fine. It's good that there's somebody out there who will take care of them, because it's better than having, like, a sick, decrepit person leeching off the state. Actually, I think it's nice to see that there would be people willing to do this for each other. It warms the heart. Personally, I think that same-sex marriage, it's like, no thank
you. I know, I react to it the same way.
Yeah, but from the point of view of, like, society, heck yeah.
Intellectually, legally.
Yes.
There are arguments, I think, that favor it. And the only argument that opposes it, really, is the Christian argument, the argument laid down in the Bible.
Yeah, that thou shalt not spill thy seed, and et cetera, ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about them creating the earth?
Then there's one other thing. Whether it's ancient civilizations that challenge the current paradigm.
Yes.
Or it's current pressure regarding gay marriages or all of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the odds are that the Christians, the religious people, mm-hmm. are right. And as we turn away from all of this,
yes,
what I call the quickening,
yes,
gets a little quicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we turn away from all this. Are you saying that we turn away from religion and God and it gets quicker?
Yeah.
Okay, it's possible, because you have to remember Pascal's argument, you know, what's the danger, and if you believe and you're wrong, what do you know? You know, no big loss, but if you believe and you don't believe and, you know, the Christians are right, you're out for eternity.
Yep.
So you might as well believe, you know, it's sort of like the cosmic insurance. And one thing about the quickening, have you ever noticed how, for some strange reason, we want to draw, like, oh, it's fate, all these, you know, random happenings all mean something?
Well, let's put it this way. There are a number of people I can think of whose premium for cosmic insurance ought to be much higher.
Precisely. Oh, and by the way,
yes.
At first I was thinking, Art, shut up, quit whining, couldn't be that bad. I take it all back.
You ought to tell people.
Yeah.
You were on Vidian, right?
Yeah, exactly, just a little bit ago. Yeah, America, his thumb is munched. There's like four little bite holes. I was thinking like a little nick.
No.
That was savage, right in the meat.
Yeah, you should have seen it Saturday.
Oh,
it was about twice its normal size. All right, thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Yeah, I got savaged. That's a good word for it, savaged. And were it not for the modern miracle of penicillin, antibiotics, I'd probably be history right now, or at least my right arm would be. Oh, I got mauled. No question about it. All right. Let me take a second out and do a couple things here, get my mind back together. And back to the phones we go. It has been a very, very interesting evening. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, you talk about these homosexuals and...
Where are you calling from, sir?
Oh, I'm calling from St. Louis. Hey, by the way, 630 KHOW, got any idea where that's at?
Denver.
Oh, Denver. All right. But anyway, you talked about these homosexuals, and I want to know, you know, what about the homos that have these kids? You know, they're going to be screwed up. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I'm not sure if it's true. I think it certainly is possible to be true. Thank you. In other words... I'm not saying that two people of the same sex cannot raise a child who will turn out okay. I would think the odds of it would be very much against them. Not necessarily because of their behavior, but because society lays such a pressure on the norm, in quotes, heterosexual relationship, that child would be up against some pretty tough odds. Wouldn't you think that would be true? The child would be against some pretty tough odds. Now, that was once true, and maybe still to some degree is, of mixed marriages. Those children, though to a much lesser degree in today's society, were once up against some pretty damn tough odds. You know, the half-black child or the half-brown or whatever. They were against some pretty tough odds. There's no question about it. Now, society has changed. It's come a long way, baby, as the commercial says. But still, to some degree, that child has a rough time in school. That child has a rough time in life. With regard to a homosexual marriage and the union, and then the child that would be not produced but nurtured in such a relationship, I would think that child would face a very difficult road. I think that is a fair statement. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mike, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been listening to some of your callers then, and I myself... Yeah, I'm a marriage counselor at one time, marriage and family.
Yes, sir.
And personally, I'm a Christian, and sometimes I was listening to various, you know, your debates going on earlier.
Yes.
And I find that it was really almost amusing how some of the people use some of the terms and they're so misdefined. And you asked for certain definitions for them to explain it.
Well, I said divine marriage, and one guy paused for about 5 seconds and hung up.
Yeah, I caught that. I caught that. A couple of things, just a few things, you know, so, you know, people don't twist themselves in circles. When they say, like, you know, does God acknowledge or does God bless a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God is the giver of life. And that's pretty universally accepted in all religions.
Yes, sir.
You know, in anything. And either a male and a male or a female and a female cannot be blessed. And the definition of blessed is to be made happy, you know, by the giver of life, because there's going to be no life given, you know, strictly in that type of relationship.
In the strictest sense, yes, correct.
Okay, and then the other thing I thought was sort of somewhat amusing was they keep saying, well, I can love anybody I want if I want to love another man, or, if another woman wants to love another woman. Well, before you love anyone, you have to love yourself, and you have to accept yourself, and part of accepting yourself is your sexuality. And if you have a quality in you that's worth passing to someone else, then you would want, and you have that value, it would seem to me, and I think anybody with any logic, that you would find a person of the opposite sex to take whatever those little nuts of value that you see in yourself and pass them on,
mm-hmm,
in procreation. And so I find that when they're saying, well, I can love anybody, it's not. And here's another thing.
In what way would such a relationship be different than a heterosexual relationship in which a decision is made not to have any children?
Well, that's their choice if they don't want to, you know, do that. Usually you will find as they get older, the energy, let's say that the woman is dealing with, being, you know, she is, her body and her mind are geared for bearing children, that usually takes a toll on them. Now, some people don't, you know, do it and they manage, but it's tough on them. It is tough. And
well, I say again, though, in what measurable way is a heterosexual relationship, other than moral or biblically,
mm-hmm,
which decides not to have offspring, how does that differ from the homosexual relationship where there's not going to be offspring?
Well, okay, if you're not going to pass on children, it would differ in this manner. Usually, let me back up two things. Usually when, let's say a person comes into the office, and this will tie in, usually a counselor who's been trained, you know, to spot certain things, usually finds that a homosexual, either male or female, their first tip-off is not sexual preference, but emotional immaturity. Now, if someone is mature enough to relate to someone of the other sex, you know, and be able to enjoy that, and maybe not bear children, maybe they don't, for some reason, they've decided not to do that,
yes,
whether it be economical or whatever factor they want to do,
yes,
they have the choice to do that. But in the other, they have really no choice. Then they want to go say, well, we can always adopt one. And you're right in what you said, that the cards are stacked against them.
I think so, yes.
Being yes, is you are being raised by two people of the same sex who actually have been united not through a strength, but by a weakness and by actually an emotional disability to get outside of themselves to relate to someone of the other sex who's willing to do that, meet them, and what role model does the child have to do that? And if the child, let's say, grows up,
okay, but you're basing that though on a judgment about their mental condition that I'm not sure you can verify scientifically.
Oh yeah,
that any
oh, yeah,
of us can.
Yeah. Up until it was politically, now first and again, political soundness has nothing to do with psychological soundness. You know, political correctness has nothing to do with psychological soundness. Up until recently, homosexual was defined in the medical dictionaries as a mental illness. And now, with the pressure the being politically changed, just like they do textbooks and anything else.
Yes, sir.
We're being made to accept this. This is not normal. It is, and it usually comes from emotional focus, where somebody found something either with a woman or with their parents that they focused on, and life and maturity went and passed them up while they focused on this thing.
All right, look, I appreciate your call, but I'm not sure that I entirely agree with you. And I think that the evidence is still not in, period, on homosexuality. Is it a mental illness? I don't know. Is there a physical difference that defies homosexuality? I don't know. There are studies out there right now that would lean towards saying that there is a physical difference, but they are controversial. They are not proven. We don't know one way or the other yet. Medically, scientifically, maybe we never will. I don't know. But I'm unwilling to make the judgment that it is a mental illness and that the only change in definition has come as a result of political pressure. That's just not true. Some of it is scientific inquiry. And the last word on all of that is simply not in yet. That is the scientific truth. Now, I realize there are moral, ethical, societal arguments that you can make, and that's fine. But the last word, the final word, is not yet in. It certainly is in the minds of those who know what they believe and have faith in. And I wouldn't even begin to try to argue with that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is Owen from Princeton, Minnesota. Now,
hello, Owen. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, I just called 2 minutes from the end because I want to say that thing. But, you know, you talked about the parents that that choose not to have children. And I like that argument. But there's always, you know, if you're infertile, you know, does that mean you're not allowed to get married?
Well, I don't know. There was a day, I believe, where infertile women had their heads chopped off.
Well, go to China.
Wasn't there?
Go to China.
Well, that's where female babies are still drowned like puppies.
That's right. It's awful over there. And homosexual marriages, do you think they'd fly in China?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Flying, heads flying is more like it. Thank you, Owen. You didn't quite make it. You came close. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes. Is this Art?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Art, hi. My name is Nate, calling from Northern California.
Hi, Nate.
And I want to change the subject a second here. Speaking of the quickening, I'm an American citizen, and you notice that no one has heard anything about this Unabomber lately, have they?
Not a word. That's because he hasn't bombed anybody lately since they published him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was investigated along with, I guess, anybody else that has the initials NR.
You were investigated as possibly being the Unabomber?
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah. And, in fact, anyone that had the initials NR.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Are you the Unabomber?
No.
You're not?
No.
How can we know that?
Well, you have to take my word.
I mean, but you have the right initials.
Well, yeah. Well, the FBI,
what do you think about technology? Is it going too fast?
No, I've been in technology all my life.
So you don't have a problem with technology?
Oh no.
The faster, the better.
Well, I don't know.
Listen, we gotta go. Say goodnight, America.
Goodnight, America.
From the high desert. Goodnight, America.